This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann and I'm joined from Whakatane by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. I've actually caught you at home, not rushing out the door.
Oh my gosh, I was just thinking this is the first weekend I've been at home in what feels like months and the rest of the year is just worse. So it's really lovely to be at home.
Is that what happens when you accept three jobs?
Yes. I wish it was only three, Sam. I wish it was only three.
Did we all tell you that?
Yes, I'm sure that there was some mention of something kind of vaguely about that, but, you know, who knows?
And this is show 597. We need to organise a party in two shows at a time.
That's so exciting. That is, oh, I love that. Gosh, we've done well considering that we're only doing this for the 6 weeks of the lockdown.
Indeed. Is it inertia? Have we just kept going?
It just kept going, yep. How do you stop?
It's like the badge they gave me at work for being here for 25 years. They celebrated me for not having the nous to get out.
Anyway. Could have escaped, didn't.
Who is that sitting beside you?
Today it is my great pleasure to introduce, well, he's got two names. So the first name that I knew him by was the Māori Green Lantern. And the superhero who teaches people about misinformation, disinformation and general lies online. And then when I met him properly, it turns out his actual name is Ivor Jones. And so Ivor is sitting here in my living room with me today and having this interview before picking up his wife from the airport. Welcome, Ivor. It is wonderful to have you here today.
Kia ora, Sam.
Kia ora.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. I have spent the last two or three days reading through all your writings.
Oh, over 1,000 essays. 1,000 essays, Sam.
Okay, maybe it's not all of them then.
No, it's not all of them.
So where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Well, born and bred in Rotorua. So grew up in the 80s experiencing neoliberalism when Labour came along with Rogernomics and Richard Preble. And my dad was a Scouser who came out from Liverpool, met my mum at the Kawerau Men's Working Camp, and I was the resulting love child. So I know the corner on where I was conceived. So that's how deep the whakapapa goes. And so my dad used to work for the Ministry of Works, right? So although he was a Scouser, he was very much Māori. And his working life was in the Ministry of Works, and then in the 90s it became privatised. And so moving from that public works to the private scheme was quite a transition for him and quite a transition for a lot of people. And since then, just watching the government doing neoliberal stuff, changing from Labour to National, going through euthanasia, and they just carry it on. And so Ivor Jones, the Māori Green Lantern, was born. looking at misinformation and disinformation from the far right. So I brand it as that because a lot of this information and misinformation comes from the far right. Sean Plunkett gave me a call on Good Friday asking if I had a good lawyer, and I asked why. And I said to him, you've got my telephone number, you've got my email address, just send me the information. And he goes, no, who's your lawyer? I want to know who your lawyer is. I said, whatever, bro, just send it to me. And so he's a renowned bully. So doing this Māori Green Lantern stuff has surfaced quite a few things. But I was at Waikato University from 90 to 95, did psychology and computer science. Rolled out of that and got my first job working as a case manager at Work and Income New Zealand. I was only there for 2 years because I understood that they're gatekeepers. People have entitlements, but they make people jump through the hoops to try and get those entitlements. So it's not about trying to help that class at all. And so I left there and went to work for the government again, the Tertiary Education Commission. So back then, it's still going, I think, but they handle the $3 billion worth of public funding in terms of education across universities down to schools. So I worked with them and then went and worked for Careers New Zealand as a career guidance counsellor. And I met my wife and she decided to do her rural GP training. And we had the choice of either Opotiki or Taupō, and Opotiki chose us. There's lots of reasons for that. And we've ended up in Opotiki for the last 15 years. My two boys are here, Atare and Tanira, in the background. And yeah, so this Māori Green Lantern thing started about 2 years ago. And I've been watching media all my life. I do documentary making, video production, stuff like that as well, and I can just see what's happening in the media. And so every day I just go through and look at articles in Radio New Zealand, NZ Herald, Wātea News, YouTube videos, pull all of that information and put it through my AI, which is around dissecting neoliberal themes. What is the story actually about? And then analysing it through a tikanga lens. So if we were to apply tikanga over this problem, what are the quantified harms that come out of it, and what are the solutions? So every day I pick two or three articles, rip them apart, and then put them back together again in this Ivor Jones, the Māori Green Lantern persona, analysing misinformation and disinformation from the far right. Now, how did I come across Marwetta? When she got funding to do the work that she does for Awa Nui Arangi, I thought this was a great article, so I wrote about it. And then, as I'm in Auckland, I get a message from one of my friends saying, Sean Plunkett's just attacked her. Sean Plunkett's just attacked her. No, this will not stand. So I went to the YouTube video, pulled that, wrote it all down and did my thing. So, yeah, that's really what it is. And it's surfaced a whole lot of things. I've spoken to TV producers in Wellington who are interested in the concept. Sean Plunkett's hassled me. It's generated this relationship with Māwera. So there's lots of threads that have come out and people are watching and people are seeding comments here, there and everywhere, but this approach seems to be seeding itself in the right places, and it's generating some conversation. Now, I'm not a TikToker. I don't shake my booty in front of the camera for people.
Well, you could.
I could. But this long form written and fully cited is the way to go. It seems to be generating interest and people can go back and check on it. And one of the relationships that surfaced is with Kiriyama Akuhata, who was with SWAP, Sawmill Workers Against Poison. And he saw one of my articles and he gave me a call. And he said, could you have a little look into this historical stuff? And so ended up doing a 5-essay series initially, and then working now with Gordon Jackman, who was the scientist who was Joe Harawira's scientist, And so working with him on the second series, which is called the Deadly Legacy. So yesterday I just finished and published these over 1,000 poison sites around New Zealand, of the 700 or so sawmills that were around. You know, all the waste has been dumped and PCPs was laden throughout it. So, you know, when I was working on this, the penny finally dropped. When I'm driving through places, I feel there's something not quite right. And I've made the connection and talking with Kiriama that, this PCP's been dumped here and it's killing the whenua. So, yeah, that's where it's come from. And another interesting thing is what the government does to shut down assistance for people. So out of this swap thing, ACC assistance was shut down. They were able to find a loophole to put dioxins out of the stuff that qualifies. So people who are poisoned, they're only eligible for one GP visit a year. No financial compensation whatsoever. And people are just dying year after year. And the terrible thing is they've passed it on to their partners and it's passed on to their kids as well. And so it's really a terrible thing. But I can see that we're still trying to keep the awareness raised and keep it in people's mind. Kim Webby wrote an opinion piece last week in The Beacon. She had a chance meeting with Kiriama and was able to revive it. She worked on it 30 years ago as a reporter. She worked on the initial findings. So, yeah, that's where I am and what I do.
Let's take the first of your music choices. Let's have, is it Jar? Let's go for Jar. Jar Rydem with Jar Rastafari. Why this one?
1814 Jar Rastafari. It's a goodie New Zealand reggae song, so that's the first one that came to mind.
Glorious, righteous, as joyous as Jah as my witness. Oh, faith, peace, harmony, dreams, aspirations, added all together. It's a recipe from Jah, Jah Rastafari. Jah Rastafari, put your hands up in the air, over there, over there. Put your hands up in the air, over there, over there. Put your hands up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Put your hands up everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. In him, he'll wrap you up in a cloak of light. He'll wrap you up in a cloak of light. I said, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Yeah, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Come on, Jah, Jah Rastafari. Come on.
to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with the Maori Green Lantern. What's the origin story? Were you bitten by a spider?
No.
How did Persona come about?
Well, when AI came out about 2 years ago, so I've always been an avid tech user. And when AI came out, oh, what's this new toy? I'll have a play with it. And we first used it. The first case study was when we bought a Lemon EV from Turner's Auctions in Rotorua. It didn't even get to a Portiki. It broke down in Matata, actually, so I had to get AA to come through and pick us up and take us through back home. And we called Turner's Auction and said, look, we've bought a Lemon from you. It's in the five-day return window. Would like to return it, please. They said, no, we're not going to do that. And I said, this will not stand. So I took all the details and put it into my AI and said, yep, you can do this. Here you go. Sent it to Turner's Auction. They came back and they said, no, we're not going to do that. I said, yes, you will. Put it back into my AI and said, yeah, this is how you deal with the situation. Bing. It worked. So that was the first sort of case where it actually worked. And then the second case was when we had to renegotiate our mortgage because we didn't want to take the big leap up. So put all the numbers through. And the only case scenario was to go to the external market, which we didn't want to do. We wanted to stay with KiwiBank. So we were able to negotiate the lowest level we could, and that was using AI. And so I found it does work. You've got to ask the right questions, though, and the gold comes in checking it and the peer review and the quality assurance of what you've actually done. Do the links go to the right place? Does it make sense? Are they misquoting, etc.? So that's the real work that comes in behind it, is doing that. So this Mighty Green Lantern thing first started on Facebook until I got kicked off Facebook because of some reason. And then I moved from Facebook to Substack. Now, Substack is an email subscriber network. So it's based around your email, and you're supposed to own that email or that database. But then I found out that the New Zealand billionaire founder allows white supremacist publishers on there without doing anything. So I said, no, this will not stand. So it's about time that I moved to a web publishing platform called Ghost. It's independent. Started up my own domain name and live there. And why the Māori Green Lantern? Well, AI is the ring. Yeah. And you can wield that ring. Anyone can wield that ring. It's up to the will of that person and the direction that they want to aim it and use it in. And so I'm choosing to use it to expose misinformation and disinformation from the far right. When COVID came around and the parliamentary protests, etc., there was a whole lot of misinformation and disinformation that happened then. And there was this cool documentary that came out from Stuff, which highlighted all of this information as well. So I'll put all of those things together and bing, the Māori Green Lantern came out.
Awesome. I like the fact, or I'm interested in the fact, and this is preempting the questions that we've got at the end of the show, somewhere you said you're not an activist, you're an analyst.
I'm a bit of both. So, for example, I was originally a Labour supporter. But when I learnt about Labour and Rogernomics, that Roger brought that in, and neoliberalism, moving public assets to private, that's caused the problems that we have today. With the money, the trickle-down effect is rubbish. It doesn't happen. It gushes up. That's why we have billionaires. And that's why there are 311 millionaire families in Aotearoa who pay less tax than you or I. And so in terms of politics, I like the Māori Party and the Green Party's idea of taxing the wealth taxes. And if we just did that, we'd be able to fund education, health, the whole shebang. But we just don't want to do that because the people who are in power want to protect the people at the top. And that you can see that with New Zealand First. You can see that with ACT. You can see that with National. I call Labour National Light. They'll just carry on what National started. They'll tweak around the edges. The Green Party, similar vein. They were the supporters of the Labour Party. They could have done more. The Māori Party is a bit too radical for me. and they are what I call neoliberal Māoris. So they're run by a corporate structure. And that corporate structure is run by John Timahere, who is mixed in with UMA and Waipareira Trust, and nepotism within the Māori Party as well, which has led to all of the issues with the Māori Party today. So it's a real interesting political time, but it's really sad as well, because you can see what this government is doing, and it's just wrong on so many levels. It's just, they're not serving the 99%, they're serving the 1%. It just amazes me why the normal Kiwi can't see that and doesn't understand what's going on. But I understand Māori don't participate in polls, which is why you get rigged polls or polls that skew particular ways, especially when the taxpayer union is involved and they're an Atlas network run by ex-national chiefs of staff. And so it's just terrible. And we've been involved in think tanks myself. So my wife was a Harkness Fellow in 2017. So we got to go to America. The Harkness Fellowship is old Standard Oil money, and the matriarch said, okay, we're going to take some of this money and we're going to identify 15 people from around the world and bring them to the United States every year. And they can study our health system, and then they can go back to their countries and they can do their work. So my wife was involved in that think tank in 2017, 2018. We were based in Harvard and in Boston for a year. And so coming back and learning about the Atlas Network and their think tanks, this stuff is real, right? The Heritage Foundation in the United States, they're the ones behind Trump. Trump is just a mouth man, right? The show guy. Everyone's looking at him. You should be looking at the people behind them, who are actually doing all of the policy, wrapping up all of the laws, etc. That's exactly what's happening here. It's getting transferred very quickly to New Zealand. An example is that bill that New Zealand First has put through about gender, identifying what is a man and what is a woman. Exactly the same themes. It's just getting transferred all around the world, and it's through neoliberalism and far-right think tanks.
What neoliberalism has done spectacularly successfully is normalised itself. It's making out that it's the only sensible thing, to the extent that we don't even realise. It's like it's become, it's the gravity. Like we don't notice gravity, it just is. And neoliberalism has managed to position itself as though it's, there is no alternative.
It's the normal.
Yes, I remember growing up in the 80s, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, watching that on TV, you know, the Epstein class, I call them. And that was what we were aspiring to, you know, or taught to aspire to. Mm-hmm. But the Māori Green Lantern looks at things through a tikanga lens, manaakitanga, kotahitanga, whanaungatanga, which is what the Māori Party was supposedly set up on. And when you look at systems from that perspective and through that lens, we can very easily solve all of our problems using that type of framework. It's the interface between capital and that way of working and way of living that is the issue.
I think that what we've seen in the last few years, encouraged by the orange guy, is that neoliberalism has gotten itself closer to that white supremacist,
yes,
sort of space. And I really like that line of yours, done being polite about a white supremacist neoliberal government. Mm. We need to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
This latest policy that was out this week, where they're going to take money from some poor people to give to some other poor people, but still not interested in bringing in, you know, the fact that they're still giving landlords financial benefits.
Via the pockets of the landlords.
Exactly. Yep. So it disgusts me that we're living in a country that thinks that's okay. We no longer care about our vulnerable people. all of the systems that have been stripped away have been stripped away from our people who are the most vulnerable, the most in need, and they've got nowhere else to go. In the meantime, we're sacking all of the bright sparks and the government departments and who are writing the policies for the future, and they're going off overseas to get jobs because there's no hope for them here. And it is in a really, it's an alarming situation.
But those poor people have won lotto.
Yeah, that just was so disgusting. Oh, boy.
I didn't write an essay about that, but yes.
That's, you need to write an essay about that one.
What, do you have a methodology, an approach that people could, that other people can do?
Well, I've used AI to look over my website and analyze the structure that's there. And it's very basic structure. It's quantifying the harm using tikanga as a framework and then finding solutions. And the great thing with AI is that it can do a lot of that stuff quick, smart for you. The goal and the gold is actually reviewing that and making sure that it is correct, that it is right. And I move quickly. Hopefully I don't break things along the way, but I get people feeding back to me. I'm having a stoush with Pere Huriwaisiga at the moment of Aotearoa Liberation League. He's not liking my analysis of what's happening up north with Tai Tokero and Marumino Kapakingi. I think he's mixed in with the Māori Party or the Green Party, one of those. And so it's just interesting seeing the commentary that's coming out from people who are involved in these spheres and reacting to what I'm publishing.
Is the AI expressing what you already know, or is it finding new stuff for you?
It's finding new stuff for me, and again, it's directing it to do that. It's not rehashing essay after essay. And so that's the goal driving it, is that you've said this before, or I need new, fresh information. And it's just building on that methodology. My wife keeps saying to me, please be Ivor Jones, not the Māori Green Lantern. Please, like Clark Kent and Superman, you know, don't be Superman all the time. You know, it'd be nice to talk to Clark Kent every now and again.
You haven't got glasses on at the moment.
No, not yet.
Oh, who's that guy? Where did Ivor go? Let's put on the second of your music choices. Let's have Corella, Blue-Eyed Maori. I've got two options for why you've said this. One of them, it's got Doctor in it, and the other one, it could possibly be about your father. But why this one?
Well, the AI art for the Māori Green Lantern, if you go back to the beginning, it was actually based on my son, who is a green, blue-eyed Māori in the back here. He's a green-eyed blondish. So it was actually based on him. So the AI art that I used at the beginning was, give this guy blonde hair, based on him. But it's evolved since then. But yes, that's the reason for that song.
There's a few of us blue-eyed Māori around.
I got to run. Kingdom come and a better way of life. A better day. So won't come see the rest, feel so unkind. And oh, my baby's on my mind. And oh, blue bleeds through that mice. She's a monster and an angel. I wanna love her, but I cannot lie.
Doctor,
she was a blue-eyed Māori. She stole Everybody knows that girl,
that pretty little girl.
She done hung me out to dry,
shot me down in the light of day,
shot me down for the right of way,
slowly changing my DNA.
My brown done turned to blue.
Valentina,
you are my angel. I wanna love her, but I cannot lie.
Doctor, doctor,
she was a blue-eyed Molly. She stole my bloodline. See, I never, never knew.
Had a message for parents talking to their kids about this time and this information space, what would your advice be to them to help their kids to manage the complexity of the messaging that they're constantly being exposed to?
Yeah, as a parent, you've got to be involved with your kids, so you've got to take an interest in what they do. Our young fellas is first year at Trident, year nine. And it's interesting, we get the weekly emails about his attendance and how he's going in his school. So you've got to keep involved and keep asking questions about how's your day gone. And unfortunately, fortunately, he talks more to his mum about his school stuff than he talks to dad. But we get a really good picture about what he's doing. So it's just about having a corridor with your kids, which I know in the modern environment, it's easier to shove a phone in front of them. But I see it as access to information. And so, you know, at 16, you've got R13, you've got PG movies, you've got R13 movies, R16 movies, R18 movies. You don't give your kid a phone until they're 16 or 18. Because that's just opening the whole entire world to them, and they're not geared up for that yet. I know of kids who have a phone right now who's linked up to the internet full on, who use Messenger, the whole shebang, and that's just, we can't do that. Yeah, it's a bit of a nuclear bomb that you're giving your kids if you allow them to have a phone. So Atalia has a dumb phone. All he can do is text and listen to FM radio and call his mum and dad, which is stink. It sort of separates him from the rest of the kids. There's a clique of kids who do social media and have access to phones, and then there's a clique of kids who don't. So yes, we're just understanding this as he goes through schooling. But yeah, that's how we deal with it.
We did the same thing. We were early adapters with our bigger kids. And we saw straight away the problem that caused, as we had to then grapple with screen addiction with these, with our kids. And so when Jack got to an age where he wanted a phone, we just said no. He got a button phone, and that's all he had as well until he was 16. Then he got a smartphone, and he just feels sorry for all those kids who lost all those years of their lives stuck on screens. Yeah, and so he can take or leave his phone, which is really good, but gosh, it's such a tricky time. What advice do you give to kids who are just constantly exposed to all this messaging that's targeting them? So like especially if you think about our kids in this community, where there's just so many problems in this community, and it's sometimes hard to find positive things, and when you listen to the government, so many of their policies are actually hurting our kids. What do you say to those kids?
It's really finding what interests them really early on in their career, which starts at school. So like year nine, it's just exploring stuff and exploring a wide range of things. And then as they go on to year 10 and year 11, it's narrowing those choices down and making some firmer choices. And so really, again, it's talking to kids and seeing what their real passion is, and then trying to, as a parent, work with that passion and trying to make connections so they can get extra exposure to that, and then move on. Atarea started jiu-jitsu at our Omaramutu club. He was one of the founding students. What happens is kids move along and then they flake out. So about 80% of people don't go beyond their blue belt when they go through jiu-jitsu. And so that's just one thing that he's tried, and now he's trying Wakaama, and he loves Wakaama and is involved in that. We're involved with a local club. And so it's really spending time with kids and figuring out what they want to do, what their passion is, and guiding them along the way and making the right connections. For kids who don't have that, I find that they usually just chuck the screen and that's their guide.
Yep, that's the worry, isn't it? Where's the hopefulness for this community? That's a big question, eh? I ponder this all the time. Where is the hopefulness? What do you see as the strengths of this community, and where do we go from here?
Well, it is community, so it's starting locally. It's not about this global thing. It's all about locally. So who your neighbour is, who your relatives are. It might be at the marae, and it's working through issues there. It really is local. It's talking, being connected at a club level, at a whānau level, at a working level if you're able to work, and what upas are, it's moving one day at a time. But it's also connecting to wairua. So people don't have hope because they're not connected to wairua in a lot of cases. When I was a career counsellor, having one-on-one career counselling sessions with people, our conversations would go the way of wairua, or your higher purpose, your higher self, whatever word you might like to choose for it. And on 8 occasions, I've walked people over to a pōtiki to visit a tohunga. So in our conversations, I'd say, oh, it seems our conversation is going in this way of wairua. Would you be open to coming with me taking you to go and see a tohunga over in the pōtiki? And I haven't had one say no. And so I took people over there, and the one thing I asked them was, look, you're going to get told some stuff. Please just follow through and do it. Because if you don't, you're going to get kicked in the ass. So that's my only one ask. And so what I've, the hope and wairua go hand in hand. When it's the whare tapa whā moro, you know, all of those things need to be in balance, including wairua, and that's what I found is missing.
I think that the problem is that we're almost programmed to disconnect from wairua, from that. Everything is so externalised, and what we need to do is return to the internal, know yourself, where your connection and your sense of what's good and what's right, what's tika, you know, like, is that a problem? Do you think it feels like a problem for me, my observation of the world?
Yeah, at an individual level, we're disconnected from each other and from our wairua, and from a system level, at a political level, that's what neoliberalism is. It's about the individual. It's about blaming the individual if they get things wrong, and it's about praising the individual if they get things right. But you don't understand that that person succeeds or fails based on the systems that are operating around them, like the social determinants of health. Māori were blamed for eating and drinking too much, right? But the racism around them, around their class of people, does not allow them to rise. And so social determinants of health are measures which actually identify what are the social things around them that are holding this person back. So it's not just the individual person, it's the systems and that are operating around them. And so, yes, there is that tension between the two. Society, which we are, we always champion Ali Williams and his billionaire wife. His billionaire wife, you know, has sweat lodges in China, pumping out plastic toys, and that's how she's made her billions of dollars. You know, it's stupid.
The values system is wrong. So we need a return to proper values again. And also connecting to the things that we buy, the products that we use, and the impact of those on not only the whenua, but also the lives of the people who are involved in the creation.
Mm.
So connection is what it all comes down to, Sam, I think. Everything is about connection, and we have lost it. And increasingly so.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we bring connection back?
At the local level with whānau, you know, going to the marae, helping out there, helping out your local school, connecting with people rather than isolating behind the screen.
Mm. And that's tricky too, because there's so many complications in life, and because of the risks, schools are almost reluctant to have families, you know, like going in, because used to be parents always used to come in and help with the reading program.
Mm.
Because when we grew up, usually only one of the parents had to work.
Mm.
So then the other parent, you know, we always had parents coming in. But now because of the risks, schools are reluctant to have parents coming in and helping. And it's really hard to find parent families where both parents aren't working really long hours just to make ends meet. And so there just needs to be a whole reset.
Yep, my capital gains tax all the way.
Yep.
That will be the first step. Grab that money from those who don't need it and just layer it on those who do. And that's the first place to start, I reckon.
Yeah, which brings us back to where we were talking just before about this government is taking money off of one group of poor people and giving it to another group of poor people. It just doesn't make sense, does it?
No, but unfortunately that's the plan of the Atlas Network. And when David Seymour got fingered for that in Waitangi 2 years ago, he denied it, of course, but he could been trained in Canada, and he's got his certificate from them. So
I have some questions to end the show. I think we've already covered some of them, but I'm going to ask them anyway. What's your superpower?
Making connections. So in the information that's out there, looking at it through a particular lens and making connections. So you'll see in each of the essays, there are 5 hidden connections that I try and reveal so that the reader sees the themes that are actually playing behind this and what is actually going on here. Media has been destroyed around the world and in New Zealand. News Talk ZB, the platform, you got NZ Herald, they dominate the space. White New Zealanders read them and listen to them, and that's where this government gets its power from. Māori are more social media savvy, and so that's where they get their information from. And so it's using those, it's battling one, trying to work with the other to get information out there. If all Māori came out and voted in this election, it would look very different. Our government would look very different, but unfortunately, Māori don't vote.
Mm.
And it's hard to get to that population. And then what's happening in the far north with all the 4 major parties getting involved, it's very interesting because 2 of them, they're going to return to Parliament anyway because they're on the list. So Labour and Green really don't need to be there because they're already going to be on the list. So is very, very tricky.
Again, another question you might have answered. Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
In my own way, yes. I think if you see something that's wrong that needs to be corrected, then yes. If you call that activism, then yeah. My cousin's Annette Sykes. I just had a conversation with her a few days ago. She was on a 15-week court trial, and she said, sorry, cuz, I couldn't get back to you, but now I can. And so she's one of the old school activists, and it's just getting involved, really.
She's amazing.
If you could wave a magic wand and have a miracle occur, let's have it by tomorrow morning, shall we? What would you have happen?
I'd like to have our millionaire families pay their fair share of tax, to have all, if we could wake up tomorrow, I'd love that to be instituted. I'd love all of the tax loopholes to be closed so they couldn't get their lawyer in to try and figure out how to not do this. And then the taps opened. And people on benefits would receive their correct entitlements and full entitlements. We would change all of that back. IRD, people, working families would be supported. Māori at marae levels would be supported. The environment would be supported. If that could happen, that'd be great.
Is there something that we could do that would be a small step, preferably with a system change attached to it, towards that?
Yeah, it's get out and vote. That's the only system that we have. That's the only mechanism that we have. Voting at a local level, voting at a national level. And it is just spending a bit of time and trying to read the policies of each of these organisations, which I know is a pain in the ass, but, and then trying to make an informed decision in the MMP environment. So that's a one step I think we could all take.
But no one's really standing on a platform of, I'm going to massively increase the tax for the rich.
Oh, I think National's sitting on...
But they're doing the opposite.
No, they're doing not. But, well, Chloe's talking about a capital gain, a wealth tax. The Māoris are talking about that.
Labor's definitely bringing in capital gains tax. They've said that very clearly all the way through.
A watered down capital gains tax.
Yep.
So the Māori Green Lantern has looked at this, at their proposal, and it's like one tenth of what they should be doing. And so that's why I say Labor just tweaks around the edges and makes it look like that they're doing things when they actually aren't.
Do you have a go-to definition of sustainability?
No. What's yours?
A transformative socio-ecological regeneration. It used to be simpler. It used to be ethics expanded in time and space. And I still quite like that one because it's one you can toy with and model and come up with ethical questions and then say, okay, what would happen if that was happening over a 100-year time period or something. So I quite like that as well. So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Oh, my kids, getting them off to school, making sure that it's actually about gearing them up for the fight that's coming, be it the environment that they're going to inherit from us, trying to direct them in the right space. And yeah, that's what motivates me.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Go to the MaoriGreenLantern.maori.nz.
We shall indeed. Mawira.
I second that. Sometimes the internet is great because I wouldn't have ever come across your work And for a long time, I've been feeling like this solo voice in the Eastern Bay of Plenty, and I don't feel like that anymore. Oh. And so I feel like we're on this really cool little team of change makers, not afraid of anybody. And so I like being on your team. And thank you for sharing with us today and for the beautiful work that you do. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Well, thank you for having me, Maha Wera. And thank you, Sam, for guiding the ship today. Thank you very much.
Oh, good. We're going out to the third of your music choices, Victoria Monet, On My Mama. Sounds like it could be an insult, doesn't it? Let's go.
When they say she get it from her mama, I'ma say you fuck her right. Body rude is unpolite, dumb be in the humble type. Tell me, is you down? Cause I'm tryna go up tonight. Hoes and hoochies left and right. I just wanna live in a fantasy. I think we deserve it right. Top of the memories I've ever made in my life. Permanent ecstasy. She smell good, that's just cause I'm heaven sent.
Sex game goes stupid, snapping like a toothpick. Man, I tell the truth, your opinion is irrelevant. But I know you think I'm fine. Might be too fine to hit it from behind. Reflection in the mirror, don't decline. I can't even lie, lie, lie. I put that on my mama, on my hood. I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my bag, but you could.
Safe spaces around the world, brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, who are brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed on podcast on oar.org.nz. Today we were joined by the Mallory Green Lantern. I know, he's taking his glasses off. Today we were joined by Ivor Jones. Oh, he's put them back on again. Where's he gone? I don't understand. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Bye.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.